We must all of us, protest the arrestations of René Gonzalez, Fernando Gonzalez, Antonio Guerrero, Gerardo Fernandez, and Ramon Labenino. Libertad para el cinco cubano. Free the Cuban fire. On a move, long live on Africa. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
You've been listening to Free Speech Radio News. I'm Noah Abram.
Okay, is that enough time? Good. I just wanted to disassociate myself completely with that newscast because it sounded awful. So anybody thinking if there's any connection between that program and this program, please think otherwise. I don't know what was wrong. The computer is all messed up today, and it sounded like all kinds of problems going on there. We'll get right on that. We'll try to fix it. For now, it's 2 minutes early. Yeah, so let's get 2 minutes more of the show. Off the Wall is on the air. With the usual CD. You know, what's the point of fixing a CD player if it comes back with the exact same problem that it left with? Okay, I'm going to keep hitting the play button until the theme comes on. That was, what, 12 times? Was something, wasn't it? You know, one of the reasons why that got so fouled up was because here we have a computer system that tells you how much time is left on a particular program. Yes, that's right. Free Speech Radio News, it can be revealed, comes over computer. And as we all know, computers are the way of the world today, and that's why everything is in such great shape. But there's a countdown. It tells you how much time is left. However, when the computer file gets so corrupted that people keep dropping syllables and everything they're saying, I was listening to John Kerry talking on the way over, and it sounded like he was drunk. He kept dropping syllables of things he was saying. I didn't win any votes for Kerry on that newscast, that's for sure. But when that happens, apparently, the countdown clock becomes inaccurate. So when I thought there was a minute and 30 seconds left, in actuality, there was something like 2 seconds left. So, yes, caught unawares here at the radio station. We definitely have to look into our computer hardware. It's 6:01, and my apologies for the early start. But let's move right into the Tommy Chong tribute for today as we go into the home stretch. Tommy Chong being released July 6th for the crime of selling bongs on the Internet. And this piece is called Pedro and Man at the Beach, or How I Spent My Summer Vacation. Enjoy.
I'm over here, man, by the trash can. Over here where the flies are, man. Okay, hurry up. Hey, boo! It's like the foot in the Kool-Aid, man!
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It's
here, please? Hey, Pedro, man. Hey, listen.
Hey, man, what's up? You're going to step in the...
Oh, wow, what is this?
Well, it ain't peanut butter and bologna, man.
Oh, God, man. Come on, let's go down to water, man. I got to wash off my feet.
Okay, but where's the water, man? I haven't even seen it.
Hey, well, listen, man. I'm going to crawl up this lifeguard tower. Maybe I can see where it is from there.
Yeah, that's a good idea, man. Go on. Golly, it's hot out here, man. I feel just like a refried bean or something.
Hey, Pedro, I see it, man. I see the water. You can see the waves and everything, man. It's right over here. See, right over there.
How are we going to get to it, man? There's too many people, man.
Hey, I got an idea, man. Hey, I know how we can clear the beach.
Hurry up.
Hey, just watch this, man. Sir! Everybody out of the water!
Oh, my God! Mars, where? Oh, God, where are they? Come on, let's get out of here. There's sharks coming up on the beach. Well, forget the blanket. Let's go.
Hey, Skip, what you have?
Oh, wow, man, you missed it, man. This little girl was out there surfing, man. A big shark came up and ate her, gored and everything, man.
Oh, wow, really? What kind was it?
Well, I think it was a 12-foot Dewey Weber with an orange racing stripe, man.
Oh, far out. Hey, let's go down by the pier.
Oh, yeah, they're curling in there.
Come on, Pedro, I'll race you through the water, man.
Okay, man, first one is the wet head.
Right.
And they're on the move! Oh, this is more like it, man. Yeah, our own private beach, man. Okay, man. Hey, man, what's that behind you, man? Look, there's a fin coming towards you, man. No, really, man, there's a fin. It looks like a shark is gonna get you, man.
Sure, man.
Then turn around, man. There's a fin. It's right behind you, man. Hey, man, give me your hand. I got you, man. Oh, no. Where's the rest of him? Oh, the shark ate him. Oh, no, it's coming after me. Oh, no. Oh, good. Somebody threw me a frisbee. Okay, shark, now try to get me, man. Come on, I'm stuck inside your throat for dessert. Here you go. Get him up. Got to get me. Get away from me.
Hey, Pedro. Pedro, wake up, man. What you mean? You're sleeping, man. Are you okay?
Oh, wow, man. Must have been having a nightmare, man. In the daytime.
There he is, Dad. There he took our sleeper and stuck it in the garbage can this time, Dad.
Hey, Yo-Yo. What's wrong with you? I told you that if you touch the frisbee again, I'll break your neck.
Hey, why don't you bug off, you big baboon? Why don't you go back to the zoo and take that little monkey with you?
Who you calling a monkey, you little creep?
Hey, wait a minute, man. Come on, settle down, man.
Who you telling to settle down, you big
monkey? Hey, come on. Who you calling a Greek, man?
You listen, I'll
check out the black and white kill.
Oh, yeah, we
have 30 seconds. It's getting more shark news in the water. Shark news coming up next with our Latino expert. Here's a little boogie, my little boogie brother.
Oh, yeah. The summer is almost here, and boy, I can just taste it in the air. Well, that's Cheech and Chong for you right there as part of our Tommy Chong tribute. And what fun. Well, you know, I noticed something on the way over here. I always notice things on the way over here because, well, I'm very intent on making my way here. And for some reason, no matter how early I leave, I always seem to manage being stuck behind somebody I don't want to be stuck behind. And things take longer than they should. And I guess that's just the nature of the world. But I noticed they repaved the road on Route 25A. I don't know if people notice this who live in the area. Between Port Jefferson and Setauket. They just did a great job repaving the road. It's a pleasure to drive up and down there all day long. No bumps, nothing. And they even have brand new lines on there. They did it right this time. They really did a good job. But then I realized as I was driving here today, stuck behind some idiot doing 25 miles an hour and stuck in front of another idiot wanting to do 60 miles an hour in their SUV, I had a lot of time to look at the road, to look at it carefully. And that's when it came to me. Used to be that you could pass somebody. If the conditions warranted, you could pass somebody on Route 25A. You know, they had that little dotted yellow line. And that meant, for those of you who have never seen one, it meant that if conditions warrant, if it's safe, if nobody's, for instance, is coming the other direction, you can go into opposing lanes and pass the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's how it works. But those lines have been replaced with big double yellow lines the whole way now. We can no longer be trusted to use our judgment and pass when conditions are safe. Now, conditions were not safe today. There was bumper-to-bumper traffic everywhere, so I wasn't about to pass anybody, but I really resented being tricked that way. You know, I said, oh, it's nice, they're paving the road, it's really beautiful, but then, you know, quietly, they just got rid of this one little bit of freedom we had. And that's what they do, you know, they take away the little freedoms, one by one. Before you know it, stop signs everywhere. You know, you have to always be cautious and slow and obeying ridiculous rules. It used to be in the past. For one thing, there weren't stop signs every few feet. I don't know why it's necessary now, but I guess we've become a lot more dangerous as far as the way we drive. We can no longer pass because we can't be trusted to make that decision. And traffic lights. You know, traffic lights at night, lots of times, used to go into blinker mode because there was nobody around. So there's no reason to stop and wait for a minute and a half for nobody. But those days are gone. And not only that, on many roads now, you can't even make a left turn without waiting for a little left directional arrow. It's really crazy. And, you know, when I go to other countries, it sort of hits home because I see how it's very easy to move around there. And you just kind of use your judgment. And you don't do stupid things and you get where you need to go. And, yeah, people do stupid things. But, you know, people still do stupid things here despite all the stop signs and traffic lights and double yellow lines. It may be a small thing, it may be trivial, but I think it's indicative of our society and where we're heading. And I'd like to know if people in other parts of the country, and even other parts of the world, are experiencing similar things, where they see more and more restrictions on what they can do, more and more rules, ridiculous as they may be. And yeah, all in the name of safety. You can't oppose this, because if you oppose this, you're supporting kids being run over by cars and other horrible things like that. You're either with us or against us. And, unfortunately, I don't think I have a choice on this one. But that's what I was thinking in the 20 minutes or so it took me to go half a mile on the way over here. And I'm glad I was able to share it. Let's take a quick look at the news, and then I'll share some other things, too. Maybe we'll have some phone calls a little bit later on in the program. This is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you until 7 o'clock, at which time we become captivated by the blues all night long on the radio station. Well, at least for a couple of hours. Let's see, a federal judge in San Francisco has declared the Bush administration's Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act unconstitutional. The court ruled the ban infringes on a woman's right to choose. The ruling applies to Planned Parenthood clinics nationwide. An attorney for a man accused of planting a dirty bomb says that after 2 years, Jose Padilla still has no forum to defend himself. This is a U.S. citizen being held. Is he in Guantanamo Bay? He's basically being held without any kind of rights whatsoever because he's an enemy combatant. Anyway, he's being held, as I said, on that enemy combatant status. The government said today that he also sought to bomb apartment buildings. All right. I guess that's good for another couple of years. You know, the guy is guilty, fine. Lock him up, put him away, whatever. But, you know, at least let's have some due process here. What's the point of doing it this way? Suspending all the rules. Makes no sense. Prosecutors in the Terry Nichols sentencing proceedings are making the case for the death penalty for Nichols' role in the Oklahoma City bombing. One man testified his 6-month-old son was so badly injured that his body was identified only through fingerprints. And that was a guy for the defense. The incoming Prime Minister of Iraq says his new government would soon negotiate a deal on the status of international troops that will remain in Iraq. The largely ceremonial post of president will be filled by a critic of the U.S.-led occupation force. Well, that should be rather interesting. And finally, clashes continue between U.S. forces and militia fighters in parts of Baghdad and Kufa. Earlier bombings claimed at least 14 Iraqis and wounded dozens of others. Two U.S. soldiers are among the wounded from a roadside blast 155 miles north of Baghdad. And that is the latest news, as heard from the Associated Press. If I sound a little disjointed today, it's because I haven't gotten much sleep. I had a bit of an excursion last night. Oh, boy. You know, I don't like to move things. I really don't. But somehow, because I have a van, namely the 2600 van, somehow I wind up moving things all over the country sometimes. Try it. Get a van. You'll see. Beds, dressers, cabinets, you name it. But yesterday, yesterday was the best yet. Actually, it was the second time I had to move the same piece of equipment. Those of you in the computer world know about these things called racks. That's right, R-A-C-K-S. They're big, well, there's two kinds, but basically the kind that I had was a big metallic enclosed structure. I guess the best way to describe it is casket-sized. A little fat, but that's about the size. You could definitely fit a body in there. And we finally decided to transport this someplace else because it just wasn't working out at the location here in the island that we had it at. And this involved getting it outside a door, which was just wide enough to fit the thing. Of course, you have to go around these little tiny corners. And then down a hill, that's right, down a hill, through trees and shrubbery and all that kind of thing. Keeping in mind this thing weighs about 100 pounds, and we had two people moving it, me being one of them. And then we had to lift it and get it into the van. You know, that was the easy part. It took 45 minutes, but it was the easy part. Now, we had to drive this thing all the way up to Poughkeepsie in mid-upstate New York. And here's the thing with the 2600 van. There's always a bit of drama involved, one way or another. Okay? It doesn't start in the rain. Doesn't start in the rain at all for some reason. We've never been able to get that fixed. And yesterday, a new problem started to manifest itself. Actually, it's been manifesting itself since the Dayton trip a few weeks ago. And that's with the headlights. The headlights, for some reason, take a few seconds to turn on. You turn the headlights on and nothing happens. Just the parking lights go on and no headlights. And then all of a sudden, voila, they go on. And this has been getting worse week by week. I got to the point where, you know, I have to jiggle the headlight switch, and eventually they come on. So, you know, there was all this going on. It started raining as we were driving up there. And, of course, we get the thing up there. It takes about 3.5 hours, 4 hours to get to Poughkeepsie in the driving rain. And we can't get the thing into the place we wanted to get it into. First, we're trying to get into a basement. A steep basement. You know, one of those kind with the wooden staircases? I'm thinking of the many different ways this thing can land on somebody and crush them. This is metal we're talking about. This is heavy equipment. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I just want to get home. But we can't get the thing to fit. Eventually we get the thing to fit through through a living room door, but we have to go sort of catty corner and do all kinds of geometric calculations, literally on pieces of paper. You know, putting on glasses and figuring it out, you know, like we're building a bridge or something. Finally get the thing through. It literally fits. We have to take the handles off the doors. Literally fits within, say, half an inch total, quarter inch each side. And then on the way back, that's when the headlights decide not to go on at all. So I had to stick around up there until midnight. No, not midnight. Dawn. Yeah, had to stick around till dawn, and then drive home at the earliest possible time where you could drive without having headlights. And that was a whole lot of fun. Of course, it was driving rain too at that point, so there was also a bit of drama getting the thing started. But that's what kept me up all night, and I didn't get home until actually about 9 o'clock. So the whole day has been kind of shot because of this, so I'm a little out of sorts. Oh, also, here's something interesting. Whenever I come home very, very late or very, very early, I get to pass through this this town called Farmingville. You may have heard of Farmingville. In fact, there's a film called Farmingville, and that's the part of Farmingville I always see whenever I pass by it on, I believe it's Patchogue Mount Sinai Road. exit 63 on the expressway. You just take that at about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and you see all this drama going on, usually by a 7-Eleven. This is the town in the area where there are day laborers who come out and basically wait for work in various forms. I'm not exactly sure how it works. People, contractors come by with their vans, and they either pick people or they know people already, and they take them to work for an entire day. Yesterday was interesting, though, or today actually was interesting, because as I drove by there, I see these picketers, people standing with picket signs. And the signs say, deport illegal aliens. And I'm like, okay, what is this all about? These people standing around upset that these Mexican day laborers, who they don't have any knowledge if they're illegal aliens or not, are standing around waiting for people to hire them to do a day's work. And I got to say, you know, I don't know many people who would get up at 5 in the morning, which is the earliest that I've seen this process begin, and stand around waiting for somebody to hire you for a day, and then have to work all day long. Probably harder than most of us have worked in our lives for any particular day. You know, cutting grass, putting on roofs, doing all kinds of contracting for houses and all kinds of things. No health insurance, no sick pay, nothing like that. And you got these idiots standing there on the side of the road saying, oh, they're illegal. I'll bet these people have no problems when they come over to do work on their houses. They don't ask to see green cards. They don't ask to see citizenship proof. They're just happy they can get some cheap labor out of the deal. If anybody should be picketing, it's the people that are working really hard and being treated like crap. So that was kind of annoying. I looked at the faces of the motorists around me, and they seemed kind of disgusted by the whole thing, by the people standing there with these picket signs. I didn't see anybody beeping or waving or that kind of thing. Just kind of an embarrassment. I haven't seen the film Farmingville yet, but it supposedly deals with issues like this, where there's all this hatred from various parts of the community, hostility. I mean, I don't think a person can be defined as illegal. You know, it's just something that bothers me. And if somebody is in this country without the proper forms, okay, you know, there's probably a lot worse things that could be happening, and maybe this person deserves to have the right forms, because they certainly are paying their way, they certainly are doing work in exchange for them being here, and I think they're contributing a lot more to the community than a lot of us that stand around and just look for fault. You know, one of the signs that I saw was a sign that said, Dump Tim Bishop. Now, Tim Bishop is a congressman, I think from out in the Hamptons. And when I got back, I took a look on the web just to see if there was anything relating to Tim Bishop and Farmingville. Like, why would they be targeting this guy? Why would he be the target of their wrath here? What did he do that was so bad to them? Well, I found it. I found it on the House.gov website. I found a Tim Bishop statement on Justice Department joining Farmingville firebombing investigation. And this was from last year. And here's what he said. This is what earned him the wrath of these people in Farmingville. I commend Attorney General Ashcroft. Okay, you just earned my wrath there by commending Ashcroft on anything, but we'll let that go. I commend Attorney General Ashcroft for devoting the resources of the Justice Department to the investigation of the firebombing in Farmingville. Oh, didn't I mention there was a firebombing in Farmingville? That's right. That's right. These people are so cross at the fact that these Mexican day laborers are standing on street corners and working in people's yards all day long. And, you know, I don't see a group of other people, such as the people holding these picket signs, standing in corners waiting to work all day long. I don't see that. Anyway, continuing with the statement, we do not currently know the motivation of this attack. However, if this is determined to be a hate crime, it should be condemned just as forcefully as if it were a swastika or a burning cross. We must not allow our community to be defined by those who have no respect for the law and who would place the lives of innocents at risk to satisfy their own agenda of hate. Firebombing a home is an act of hate, and it is an act of terror. All human beings are entitled to basic freedoms, freedoms from fear,
freedom from oppression, and freedom from harm. All human beings. Did you hear that? Not just all Americans, all human beings. All right, continuing. No one has the right to take away that basic human dignity. When the perpetrator of this horrific crime is caught, they deserve the harshest possible sentence. And if the motivation is hate, then I will urge the Justice Department to prosecute this criminal under federal civil rights laws. Well, boy, how about this traitor here? How dare he? How dare he speak out against firebombing a home? A home filled with Mexican-Americans? I'm going to call them Mexican-Americans because as far as I'm concerned, they are American. People come here to this country and they work and they improve our livelihood. You know, whether or not our government sees fit to grant them equal status because they're not from Cuba or from some other favored country that will just accept anybody who comes over because they're of the wrong race, well, I'm not going to accept that. I'm sorry. They're as American as a lot of other people around. And we're better off. We're better off having them here. And, you know, if I lived on one of those places that straddles the border, you know, these people have farms. They're on the Arizona-Mexican border and Texas-Mexican border. And they sit there all night long with shotguns. Yeah, you know, it's not enough that Homeland Security and INS are out there, you know, patrolling our borders as if it was some kind of a prison that people were either trying to break into or break out of. It's not enough. Brilliant lights and fences and dogs and helicopters. Now, these guys have to sit on their porches and look for Mexicans. Yeah, look for Mexicans trying to get into our country because that is the biggest threat to us. That's the worst thing that can possibly happen. And what do? They catch these guys. I don't know if they shoot them or if they just simply imprison them. God knows what they do. These people who are just trying to get a better way of life. Pursue the American dream. Well, you're not American. I guess that means you can't really pursue it. Even though we can pursue the American dream by sending a lot of our work down to Mexico and paying people slave wages and other parts of the world as well. Doesn't work the other way. If I had a farm there, I would have a big welcome sign. And a nice road that led into the country. I don't know what kind of reaction I would get from my neighbors. Probably not very very positive one. But I honestly don't see what the big deal is here. I really do not see a big deal at all. I see something positive coming out of this. And seeing those people in Farmingville this morning just really annoyed me. I mean, you know, you have the right to protest and all that kind of thing, but When you're basically protesting the existence of people who are standing a few feet away from you, that to me just, and they're not Nazis. Okay, Nazis, because they walk around and they basically are saying horrible things about people that are protesting against them, and, you know, it's understandable in that case. But these are people who are just here trying to earn money and not taking anything away from anybody else. You ever try to get somebody to cut your grass these days? It's almost impossible. All right, enough about that. But this goes to show you, you know, if you drive around really late at night, you'll see all kinds of things that you never expected to see. Okay, what else is going on? I mentioned this at the end of the show last week, that they were thinking of bringing back the draft. Oh, yeah, they're thinking about it, all right. This comes from a website called congress.org. And basically what this is, it's kind of a lobbying website where various issues are brought up, and you can send letters to your congressman and just basically learn about what's happening here. This, and I don't know how accurate this is, because they state things as fact, which may not be fact, but it's definitely worth looking into, as are so many things. This article, if you go to congress.org, I'm sure you can find it by searching for these words. Pending draft legislation targeted for spring of 2005. Yeah, it won't happen in the election year. You can bet on that. But think about it. Think about all the military adventurism going on in the world. And we're going to need blood for that, literally. We're going to need lots of blood. So people aren't going to sign up quite as quickly as as they used to voluntarily when they see the kinds of things that can happen. The kinds of things that can happen to people, both in the form of getting their limbs blown off or being killed, and also how people can be degraded and turned into animals themselves, where they go around torturing helpless human beings. You know, they're equal reactions. And I'm sorry, I don't think anybody is immune from that kind of a thing. It's horrible what those people are doing over there. But I think everybody has their dark side and a way that it can be triggered. And it seems like that's exactly what's going on with soldiers over there. Anyway, let's take a look at this story. The draft will start in June of 2005, according to this. There is pending legislation in the House and Senate, twin bills. Senate Bill 89 and House Resolution 163, which will time the program's initiation so the draft can begin as early as spring 2005, just after the 2004 presidential election. The administration is quietly trying to get these bills passed now, while the public's attention is on the election, so our action on this is needed immediately. $28 million has been added to the 2004 Selective Service System. To their budget to prepare for a military draft that could start as early as June 15, 2005. Selective Service must report to Bush on March 31, 2005, assuming Bush is still there, that the system, which has lain dormant for decades, is ready for activation. If you go to the website www.sss.gov, that's the Selective Service website, /perfplan, that's P-E-R-F-P-L-A-N, _FY2004.html, you can view the Selective Service Annual Performance Plan for the fiscal year 2004. The Pentagon has quietly begun a public campaign to fill all 10,350 draft board positions at 11,070 appeals boards, board slots nationwide. You know, I was actually toying with the idea of becoming a board member of the Selective Service. I even got the paperwork and everything, but, you know, I just could not go through with it. Because what this requires somebody with absolutely no military connections whatsoever. That's me. All right. It requires somebody who lives in the neighborhood and somebody who basically is willing to sit on a board and decide who gets to go and who gets to not go into the military, who gets to have their appeal heard and not heard. And, you know, I just, even if it's just for the purposes of finding out information, which is the reason why I kind of was interested in the first place, it's kind of like, you know, joining the Freemasons or something. You think you're going to keep your mind when you go in there, but all of a sudden you're in there and you're one of them, and you can't get out. You know, or a Mooney, or you know, a Scientologist or something. You got to be careful. You may think you can conquer these groups, but once you're in these secret societies or whatever they are, you know, secret society and Selective Service have the same initials. Oh, it's scary. It really is. And they wanted me to go to some indoctrination thing in Chicago, which is where apparently the headquarters are. Couldn't do it. Just could not do it. But if anyone out there is on a Selective Service board in their neighborhood, please, leak information to us. We want to hear about it. You can mail us, otw@2600.com. Anyway, continuing here. Though this is an unpopular election year topic, military experts and influential members of Congress are suggesting that if Rumsfeld's prediction of a long, hard slog in Iraq and Afghanistan, and, of course, a permanent state of war on terrorism, proves to be accurate, the U.S. may have no choice but to draft. Think about it. It makes perfect sense. Congress brought twin bills, Senate 89 and House Resolution 163, forward this year. They're entitled the Universal National Service Act of 2003 to provide for the common defense by requiring that all young persons aged 18 through 26 in the United States, including women, perform a period of military service or a period of civilian service in furtherance of the national defense and homeland security and for other purposes. These active bills currently sit in the Committee on Armed Services. And for those of you who think that you can just hightail it over to Canada, it's not going to be that easy. It's not going to be like Vietnam. College and Canada will not be options. In December 2001, Canada and the U.S. signed a Smart Border Declaration, which could be used to keep would-be draft dodgers in. Signed by Canada's Minister of Foreign Affairs, John Manley, and U.S. Homeland Security Director Tom Ridge, the declaration involves a 30-point plan which implements, among other things, a pre-clearance agreement of people entering and departing each country. Reforms aimed at making the draft more equitable among gender and class lines also eliminates higher education as a shelter. Underclassmen would only be able to postpone service until the end of their current semester. Seniors would have until the end of the academic year. Even those voters who currently support U.S. actions abroad may still object to this move, knowing their own children or grandchildren will not have a say about whether to fight. Not that it should make a difference, but this plan, among other things, eliminates higher education as a shelter and includes women in the draft. The public has a right to air their opinions about such an important decision. Please send this on to all the friends, parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents and cousins that you know. Let your children know, too. It's their future, and they can be a powerful voice for change. Please also contact your representatives to ask them why they aren't telling their constituents about these bills. Contact newspapers and other media outlets like WUSB in Stony Brook to ask them, oh, that was nice of them, to ask them why they're not covering this important story. Well, we are covering this important story, and you can find out more by going to congress.org. And again, this is my sole source for this. So if this proves to be completely inaccurate or based on misinformation, I expect our listeners to go out there and tell me. Because I'm busy driving things around in my van all day, and I don't always have time. But this sounds exactly like the kind of thing that you would expect to happen. We did have a draft in this country, and look at what's going on in the last few years. Look at how many changes have taken place. And we had this letter come in a couple weeks ago, actually. I'd like to read it now because it does apply. Dear Emmanuel, I normally agree with you, as most common sense people do as well. I don't know about that. I don't know if most common sense people agree with me, but a few do. However, you said something on the last Off the Wall show you did, which was quite a while ago, I guess, regarding people in the Army or the National Guard who don't expect to go to war. Now, I agree we shouldn't be there. I even agree that people in Australia, which is where this letter writer is, should not be there. However, you join the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Guard, or whatever, even the Coast Guard, you're signing up for war. Justified or not, it's the way it is. To sign up and not know that is just plain dumb. I do understand a lot of people in America join the armed forces to get a better education and to get ahead. However, the underlying reason for having a standing Army, Navy, or Air Force is to go to war at the whim of the president. And the solution is just to not join up. Perhaps if enough underprivileged people don't join up and become common cannon fodder, rather, then perhaps the politicians might get the message and create programs that emulate what the armed forces do, create places in higher learning for people without the risk of dying for your education. Signed, Mal. Well, or perhaps what they will do instead is reinstitute the draft, which, you know, Wrangler did this. He came up with this bill a couple of years ago. Actually, I'm not sure if it's the same bill. But he was making a point, although in rather an absurd way, that people who are in the upper class are not the people dying over there. It's mostly lower class people, people who are trying to earn money, get an education, that kind of a thing. They're the ones being hoodwinked into joining the military and being sent off to these godforsaken places and being used as cannon fodder. While the privileged ones, the ones who have money, the ones who have inheritances, they don't have to worry. Now, a draft would make it a little bit more fair, I guess, in that way of thinking. But it also is a good smack in the face to make you wake up and say, my God, what are we doing? We're sending all our young people off to die, and we don't even have a good reason. Not that there really is a good reason. But this is absurd. So if this is happening, if this is, in fact, what's going on, then it has to be brought up now in the election year, and it has to be made an issue. I was listening to what bits of Free Speech Radio news I could understand before this program, and I was appalled by Kerry's lack of strength, standing up and saying what he's going to do in Iraq, or what he's going to undo in Iraq. Instead, it sounded like I was listening to Bush with Kerry's voice. We'll root out the terror cells, and we'll keep the weapons of mass destruction out of their hands, and yeah, whatever. What are you going to do about the major crisis facing this country right now? We'll have 1,000 of our people dead by the time you get elected, if you do get elected. Are we going to shoot for another 1,000 in the next year or more? And speaking of slapping, oh boy, did you hear this? This happened actually a couple of weeks ago. Chancellor Gerhard Schröder slapped in the face in Berlin by a 52-year-old man. Yes, at a campaign rally. Now, a few weeks before that, I publicly called for Ariel Sharon to be slapped. Because I think he really needs it. Does anybody out there think Ariel Sharon does not need a good slap in the face? All right. We all agree on that, then. Now, it's a lot harder to slap people these days. You know, back in the 60s and 70s, maybe even the 80s, there was this thing going around the country where people would get pied. In fact, there's a guy in the city named Pie Man who used to do this. I don't know if he did it for a living, but he certainly did it a lot. The president of this university, John Toll, got pied at the inauguration of the Bridge to Nowhere, which eventually got torn down. And he got pied in the face at that ceremony. I remember it. Now, I'm not advocating pieing any administrative people here at the university. John Toll deserved it for a number of reasons. But the thing is, it used to be that that was something that could happen to an elected official. Got a pie in the face. Okay. These days, though, you'd be on Guantanamo Bay if you tried that. So it's kind of nice to see someone get a little sense smacked into them, even if, you know, this person's a nut. Sometimes it's the risk you take. Get smacked in the face. So Schröder got smacked. He was signing autographs for a small group of newcomers to a Social Democratic Party, Social Democrat Party, rather, in Mannheim, actually, on Tuesday evening. This was in mid-May. According to eyewitnesses, the man approached Schröder with his right hand. He smacked Schröder with his right hand so hard that the side of the chancellor's face turned red. Four bodyguards immediately tackled the man and dragged him away. The man refused to answer questions about his motive. And he was released several hours later after investigators determined that he lives in the area and did not pose a flight risk. Now, can you imagine if somebody smacked Bush upside the head, you know? Just hauled off and gave him a good smack in the face. And if any president deserves a smack, he does. And I hope I'm not condemning myself to torture by saying that. But it's true. It might help. And I appeal to those people that have access to the president's face, you know, people in the administration, perhaps, his wife, his children, because certainly we don't live in a society like Germany where you can smack the leader of your country. Consider it, all right? That's all I'm asking. Just consider it. It might help. It might jar some sense into him. That might be all it takes. You know, all the tutoring and you know, speed reading and that kind of thing might not be necessary. It might just need someone to just haul off and give him a smack across the face. And not hard, not too hard, just enough to kind of jar him out of whatever trance he's in and say, my God, what have I done? Dick Cheney put me under a spell. It's all over now. So, yeah. And of course, Ariel Sharon, too. Please, if anybody can smack him, that would help so much. Especially if it got caught on video. All right. These people need smacks, too. Boy, we were talking about the draft and military and that kind of thing. An unlikely pair of Senate allies called for a larger military and pledged a thorough investigation of abuse against Iraqi prisoners in Baghdad. Well, let's look at the first part of that. Senators Hillary Rodham Clinton, surprise, surprise, of New York, and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Guess which is the Democrat and which is the Republican. Not that it makes a difference. They're both members of the Senate's Armed Services Committee, the committee we were talking about a moment ago. A number of us have been sounding this alarm. We have to face the fact we need a larger active duty military, said Hillary Clinton on Fox News Sunday. And we've checked into this. It was not a clone. It was not one of those Fox puppets that they use. This was her. We cannot continue to stretch our troops, both active duty, guard, and reserve, to the breaking point, which is what we're doing now. And Graham said, the United States is putting too much pressure on the men and women in uniform. We need more of them sooner rather than later. Clinton said, I don't think we have any alternatives. What does that mean? Is that a direct call for the draft or what? You know, they're not saying it. They're not saying it out loud, but they're certainly implying it.
And yeah, there's nothing else in here on actually imposing the draft, but you can certainly read between the lines and see that it's a distinct possibility. Meanwhile, what else is going on here? We talked about the man who was killed a few weeks ago, Nicholas Berg. We talked about him last week, and the various weird things were going on in the video. This week, something else has surfaced. Turns out he was interviewed for the Michael Moore film that Disney did not run release, but looks like it's going to be released anyway, thanks to the efforts of the people who run Miramax. In an unused interview shot in Virginia for Michael Moore's latest film, the American who was beheaded in Iraq said he was concerned about security there as he prepared to seek work as an independent businessman. That's according to his family. Moore's crew shot the 16-minute interview with Nicholas Berg during an Iraqi business conference in Arlington, Virginia on December 4th. Nicholas Berg's decapitated body was found in Baghdad on May 8th, and a video of his killing was posted on an Islamic militant website several days later. Moore confirmed Thursday that he had footage of Berg shot for his film Fahrenheit 9/11, which is critical of President Bush, to say the least, but said he would share it only with the family. Moore sent copies of the footage to David Berg in New Jersey and sister Sarah Berg in Virginia. Their parents will see the video after returning to their suburban home from vacation. I don't know if vacation is the right word. Probably just getting away from the media and mourning. That's what I would call that. I don't really call that a vacation. Sarah Berg said her brother told Moore's crew he was nervous about his safety in Iraq. He recognized it was a concern, and he kind of pointed out that he'd worked in difficult situations before. It's definitely something he didn't shrug off. She said her brother seemed enthusiastic in the footage. The interview, which was not conducted by Moore, centered on the technical work Berg hoped to find repairing radio transmission towers for his company, Prometheus Methods Tower Service. Berg also talked about humanitarian work he did in Uganda and Kenya. Moore said he had considered using some of the footage in his film, but it got edited out. Some of Moore's staffers cried when they heard about Berg's death, the filmmaker told David Berg. Given Moore's political leanings, David Berg said he was really nervous about what the footage of his brother might show. His brother wasn't overtly political, he said. He went to Iraq because he has certain beliefs about helping people in messed up situations, but it's not like he was trying to help the Bush administration. David Berg said Moore handled the situation with dignity, respect, and discipline. Michael Moore has really been a total class act with this whole thing, he said. He could have sold this to the media or stuck it in his movie. And Sarah Berg said she saw the video footage as a gift. Fascinating. Small world, isn't it? And yeah, that film will come out one way or another, despite the efforts of Disney. That's unbelievable, too, that they would actually try and keep it from being released. In fact, they had, in the past, recommended that it not be made at all. And it's probably going to be the most popular film of the summer. And this is what happens when you have huge companies running the media and controlling everything. It becomes all the harder to get a point of view out that's not in the mainstream. But they do get out. Films like Farmingville get out. Films like Fahrenheit 9/11 get out. Films like Super Size Me. Have you seen this one yet? Get this. Cable network MTV is refusing to air advertisements for the documentary Super Size Me. They're refusing to air advertisements for a movie. It's a critical look at the health impact of a fast food-only diet, in case you haven't heard about this film. Roadside Attractions and Samuel Goldwyn Films said in a statement that the cable TV channel, targeted to young audiences, told them the ads are, and this is a quote, and I could not make this up, disparaging to fast food restaurants. Oh my God. Disparaging to fast food restaurants. Well, we can't insult the fast food restaurants. They're very sensitive. They've been through a lot. We must protect their interests. I mean, you know, it's not at all surprising that MTV would stoop to this level, but for God's sake,
it's bad enough being politically correct about everything else, you know, being careful not to offend anybody any place. But now, worrying about offending corporations with an advertisement for a movie, let alone the movie itself, just an advertisement to see a movie. Something's got to give here. Anyway, Super Size Me director Morgan Spurlock ate nothing but food from McDonald's restaurants over a 30-day period. Oh, my God. And if asked whether he wanted the larger Super Size meal, he always said yes. I'm not sure if he asked himself or he just responded yes if they asked him. I haven't seen the film yet. I do want to. And over the 30-day period, he gains weight and his health declines. Documenting the impact are not only the cameras, but also his doctors. Spurlock mixes in various facts and figures about food and dieting as he travels the United States, talking to health and food experts in 20 different cities. Super Size Me has been a hit at box offices by documentary standards, and it earned Spurlock the Grand Jury Prize for Best Documentary Director at this year's Sundance Film Festival. And I believe TV rights have been picked up by Showtime. So correct me if this is wrong, but if that's the case, Showtime and MTV are owned by the same people. Who knows? Who knows what it all means? All right, let's have some fun. And you can have fun, too, by calling us 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. But I want to read this book I bought. I was in the Strand the other day. I just saw this book. I had to get it. I had to cover my face when I was getting it, but I just had to get it. America, A Patriotic Primer by Lynn Cheney. Lynn Cheney. The wife of our vice president. It's a succinct history of the United States, an ABC of the principles on which this country was founded, and a book for children and families to pore over, discuss, and cherish. Yeah, it's a kid's book. All about patriotism. And it's also a way to learn the alphabet. And we're going to learn together. Now, let's have a contest, because I don't think anybody can guess this in the time we have left. I'll give you an example of what we're doing here. A is for America, the land that we love. B is for the birthday of this nation of ours. Okay, you see what we're doing here? We're going letter by letter. I would like, and I think, you know, even in the age of Google, it's not possible to find this out. I'd like for somebody to call me up and tell me what X stands for by the time I get to it. Can you do that? Because that's a contest worthy of, or you might even want to crawl into the mind of Lynn Cheney and figure out what she would possibly come up with. All right, 631-632-9872, if you can pull that off. C is for the Constitution that binds us together. D is for the Declaration that proclaimed we were free. There's a lot more here, too, but obviously I don't have time to read the entire book and or the desire to. E is for equality. Actually, let me take this call and see if they have an answer. Good evening.
Hey, would it be for expatriate?
Expatriate, that's a good one. In fact, I was thinking that too. I was looking it over in the store, but no, it's not.
Okay. All
right, thanks. Thanks for your, is our phone speaker working? I don't think it is. Let's get a dial tone here. Yeah, it's not working. Let's add that to the list of things that are broken around here. Okay, well, I guess we can't take phone calls. I can take phone calls, but I have to move the microphone over to the speaker of the phone. Good evening, you're on.
Xenophobia,
that's very good, but nope, that's wrong too, sorry. I like the guesses. In fact, I had guessed that one myself. All right, let's continue, because we have a lot of letters to get through here, and a non-working phone too. F is for freedom and the flag that we fly. Oh, she really hit a home run on that one, didn't she? G is for God, in whom we trust. No comment. H is for heroes, and I for ideals. J is for Jefferson. K is for King. That's right, Dr. Martin Luther King. L is for Lincoln. M is for Madison. Go ahead, you're on.
Camp
X-ray. That's what X-ray?
Yeah.
No, that's not the case. Uh-uh. Sorry. Thanks for playing anyway. N is for Native Americans who came here first. Yes. And that's about all she says about them. O is for the oath that many people hurl at us. Oh, no. O is for the oath new Americans take. P is for patriotism that fills our hearts with pride. Q is for America's quest for the new, the far, and the very best. Oh, she's rhyming now. How nice. R is for the rights we used to be guaranteed. Well, she says are guaranteed, but I think this is the old edition. Yeah, our basic rights are set forth in the Constitution and its amendments. The first 10 amendments are called the Bill of Rights. Oh, we have 3 calls here. Good evening, you're on.
Hey, would it be for
ex-con? Ex-con? No. Good one, no. Good evening, you're on.
How you doing? Is Segway Sue there?
She's in the other room. I'll put you on hold. Good evening. You're on the air.
I say for xylophone using a parade.
You know, xylophone is the word everybody always comes up with X, but not in this case. But thanks anyway. We're going to have to close off the phones, though, because we're running out of time. Let's see. R is for the rights. We are guaranteed. Okay. S is for suffrage. That's right. Women's suffrage. T is for tolerance. Oh, yes. Free to think and believe and pursue happiness in our own way, we recognize the rights of others to do the same. As long as they don't piss us off too much. U is for United States. You know, Lynn, you could have done better on that one. The book is about the United States. Couldn't you be for something else? But she makes up for it in the description here. Our country is big. Our people come from every part of the world. But different as we are all part of a single nation. The United States of America. Bravo. V, continuing here. V is for the valor shown by those who've kept us free. W is for Washington. All right. And we've reached X. And you know, it took me a while to turn the page. I was standing there in the Strand, reading this aloud. In fact, I had gathered a semicircle of people around me. Because I was the only one that had the guts to pick the thing up. And I was afraid to turn the page. I thought maybe there wouldn't be something there. I thought maybe she'd cop out and skip it. I probably would have. But hats off to Lynn Cheney for not taking the easy way out. She came up with something. I imagine it took her weeks and weeks to think of something for this. But she came up for something. Came up with something for X. Are you ready? All right. X marks the spot. Oh, come on. You're impressed? I'm impressed. X marks the spot. Well, okay. And then she goes around talking about various spots. Plymouth, Massachusetts. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. New York City. Baghdad, Washington, Yorktown, places like that. Okay, let's finish off here. Y is for you. No, U is for you. You blew that one on the United States. All right, Y is for you and all you will be in this greatest of countries, the land of the free. And then we're back to the rap. Okay. And finally, what does Z stand for? This one's even worse than X. I didn't look at this before. Z is the end of the alphabet, but not of America's story. Strong and free, we will continue to be an inspiration to the world. And then it ends with a Ronald Reagan quote of all things. I know that for America, there will always be a bright dawn ahead. Okay, and then there are footnotes and all kinds of things like that. More information on what each letter means. Lynn Cheney and her book... America, patriotic primer here. Picture of her on the back. That's the sound of it falling on the table. Best $8.47 I ever spent. All right, again, we can write to us, otw@2600.com. Thanks very much for listening to the program.
Am I all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
There's no Off the Hook tomorrow, unfortunately, but that will be back next week, and we'll be back here next week as well. 2600's this meeting, 2600 meetings this week. See you there. Good night. For once in my life, I've got something.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.